right, everyone. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Grim Scenarios podcast, where we've been talking through sort of the big picture of how to storytell, play, bluff, fight various experimental characters. This week, we're very excited because we're talking about one of my personal favorite demons in all the Clock Tower Legion. And also, in addition to Milk, who's always here, we have a special guest, Ben Burns. How's it going, Ben?
Yeah, good, thanks. I'm really glad that you let me come on for Legion, because I am also a very big fan of Legion. And I think it's a misunderstood demon, so I'm hoping that we can kind of lay the groundwork for how to make this bad boy work.
Yeah.
See, everyone will be playing Legion all the time.
There will be legions of Legion enthusiasts.
Yes!
Legion's ability, if you're not already aware, which, frankly, if you're listening to a podcast about how to play and storytell advanced experimental characters and you don't know what they are, I'm a bit surprised. But it is, each night, a player might die. Executions fail if only evil voted. You might register as a minion to, set up brackets, most players are Legion. Its sort of tagline is, Legion is many demons, and its flavor text is, we are the chill wind on a winter's day. We are the shadow of the moonless night. We are the poison in your tea and the whisper in your ear. We are everywhere.
Wow, that's cool. I've never read that. That's the first time I've
heard that. I've been reading them all for the first time because I think it's fun to do the intros of these characters.
It's really good. Some of these are great.
Some of them are super good.
Yeah, I love this. Legion is a really, really fun and interesting demon. And I think we'll jump into it as quickly as possible. I'm just going to go over the jinxes real quick because there are a handful of them. Most of these are just sort of functionality jinxes. Legion is jinxed with politician. The politician might register as evil to Legion. That's to sort of get rid of the unfunness of the politician being able to always vote, and kill off the good players very easily. Legion and Minstrel. If Legion died to execution today, Legion keeps their ability, but the Minstrel might learn they are Legion. Legion Preacher. If the Preacher chooses Legion, Legion keeps their ability, but the Preacher might learn they are Legion. Legion Zealot. Again, the same as with politician. The Zealot might register as evil to Legion. Another functionality one. Legion Hatter. If Legion is created, all evil players become Legion. If Legion is in play, the Hatter has no ability. Legion Engineer. If Legion is created, all evil players become Legion. If Legion is in play, the Engineer starts knowing this but has no ability. Summoner Legion. If Legion is summoned, all evil players become Legion. And Magician Legion. The Magician wakes with Legion and might register as evil. Legion knows if a magician is in play, but not which player it is.
Yeah, and most of these are just pure functionality jinxes to let characters that simply wouldn't work otherwise somewhat work with Legion. Just the extent they do is, I think, a choice you should be very careful when asking.
But yeah, a good third of them could just be reworded to, why did you put these characters on a script together?
Which is sort of not to get, I'm sure I've said this before, but that's sort of all jinxes to a degree. It's a lot of the time with jinxes, the first best option is avoid this character combination. The second best option is, if you must, here's what you can tell your players, but don't put them in play together. And the third best option is, all right, trigger the jinx. Not all jinxes are that way, but I think that's generally where jinxes live in the Clock Tower world.
I think Legion is a little bit unique as well with regard to jinxed characters, since Legion going into a bag takes up a lot of space. And so even if it's on the script with a jinxed character, it's easy to just not put that character in the bag most of the time.
You don't have to have your Legion Zealot games, actually.
As it turns out.
Yeah, I think a lot of people forget when having these conversations that in order for a jinx to happen, it has to filter through two things, right? It has to filter through the guy that writes the script, and then it has to filter through the guy that builds the bag. And then we get to a situation where there's a jinx. And if going through both of those and making it to the bag, You get to, at that point, it's really no longer the fault of the characters. Not that we need to assign blame, right? Obviously, that's that in is itself is probably not a good thing. But essentially, like if you want these things to happen, then you can make them happen. But you're always given the opportunity to not make them happen. There's always a bunch of humans between the start of this journey and the end of it, right?
Yeah,
that's reasonable.
So just to cover sort of the Legion basics, and I'm going to start with what's officially recommended in the Almanac for the basics, and we can talk a little bit about some of these. The normal baseline is good and evil number count is essentially reversed. So in a seven-player game where you have five evils and two goods, and a Legion, or five goods and two evils, in a Legion game you'd have five evils and two goods. I almost did that backwards. In a 15-player game where you'd have 11 goods, four evils, in a Legion game you'd have 11 evils, four goods. That's the baseline. We'll talk later in storytelling, but when you might want to deviate from that. Outsider count is inherently arbitrary in a Legion game. So you can have in any player count, any number of townsfolk and any number of outsiders. It just doesn't matter. And we'll talk more about like outsiders in Legion when we talk about storytelling. And then there's sort of two ways that the sort of voting of votes fail if only good voted. There's the sort of easy way, and then there's the preferable way that's a bit harder for the storyteller to manage, which is the easy way is you notice a good player votes, and at the end of the vote, you just go zero votes immediately, and you move on. That's the easy way, because as a storyteller, it's not super intensive. You don't have to keep that hard track. You know who the good players are. If you notice when they're voting, you declare it a fail. If you notice none of them voting, you declare it a fail. The better way is to privately remember in your head in person, or use some sort of reminder token, and remember that this vote was secretly zero, but then announce it as what it appeared to be. And at the very end of the day, go say, actually, this player was executed while pretending someone else was on the block the whole time folding each photo. That's preferable because it makes it much harder for the good team to remember who was part of the vote fail. It's super hard to do, especially live and in person. So if you want to do the easy way, don't feel bad.
If you are live and in person, you can take one of those spare little reminder tokens that you have, you know, that comes with the Grim that's blank, and just stick it on somebody if they do. That's what I usually do in person if I have to deal with that situation.
Doesn't Legion come with an about-to-die reminder token?
Yeah, it comes with an about-to-die reminder
token. If it does, I've lost mine.
Yeah, so you can mark the actually successful vote with the about-to-die and then just announce the fake vote as fake. That's, like, what you're supposed to do, but it can still be a tough to manage in person.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, I'll readily admit, I run it the easy way. But then I can count on one hand the number of times when I've had to announce a Legion vote as zero, and they've all been on the final day of the game. It's quite rare. Like, if you're running for reasonably experienced people, which you probably should be if you're running a Legion game, they're usually pretty on the ball with that kind of thing.
I think I've seen it happen once, and it was a very bizarre situation. The other thing to note is bluffs are optional in the Legion game. And we can talk more about storytelling and why you might would or wouldn't give bluffs.
Yeah. So why don't we get into, you pull your token out of the bag, and you look at it, and it's a Legion. How do you play Legion? What are the first things you think about as you see that Legion token? What are some things that Legion as a character is a sort of an amalgam of multiple people. So it's probably going to be a group strategy to some extent, but you're going to be on your own at first, at least.
Yeah, I think Legion is in a Legion situation. Some of you are going to be the main characters, and some of you, or main characters, not the right word. In a Legion situation, some of you will be the carries, and some of you will be the supports. That's a better analogy, I think. Yeah. Right. So, almost like the storyteller is almost certainly going to kill legions at night. Quite probably is going to kill only legions at night. If you're doing your job and getting good guys executed, your legions are going to be dying at night. Someone is, which is quite unusual for being on the evil team, right? That, you know, your allies are going to be dying on night two, and then on night three, and then on night four, etc. And they're kind of going to slip into the background, and eventually people are going to start suggesting that it's a Legion game, and eventually those guys are going to probably be seen as definitely Legion because they died early in the night. And so you've got to mentally prepare yourself for being that person, I think. But you've also got to mentally prepare yourself for being the Legion that's still alive in Final Three. And you've got to think about whether or not you're going to spend the game agreeing that it's a Legion game and throwing your friends under the bus, or fighting tooth and nail that it's not a Legion game and that actually all these good guys are being super paranoid and building other worlds. And those are really hard. All of those are very difficult things to do. Because they're unintuitive, and it inverts the way we usually play this game as evil. It kind of forces you to be overt and not try and stop people from paying attention to you, which is normally what you do as evil, I would say.
I think there's, especially with Legion, there's an amount of adaptability you have to have as well. Because you might not know on day two that you're in the best situation to carry the team on day five into Final Three, right? And the storyteller who's looking at that Grim is going to be trying to set it up so that whoever is the best option for Legion is still going to be there at the end. So you really have to be able to take that pivot when it comes. If you you might be somebody who committed to, like, I'm going to try to be the carry, and then you get killed off because somebody got suspicious of you or the world that's being built doesn't work. Or you might be the one who's just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm just an outsider, it's fine. And then you're in Final Three and you've got to figure out, you know, how do I make this seem really believable?
Yeah, it's rolling with the punches, the character. And that's the same for both the person playing it and for the storyteller running it. I think that's going to be a running theme throughout this episode, that you just have to be so adaptable and fluid as both player and storyteller when it comes to a Legion game. You really can't just like throw the tokens out there and like let the chips fall wherever they may, for numerous reasons, really. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was in a Legion game last night, literally like 12 hours ago. I was in a Legion game, and I came out on day one and said to my neighbor, who was a good player, that because I'd already decided I was gonna be the fall guy. I was happy to be the one that gets killed early. That everyone agrees is Legion, so that the other Legions can slip through the net. So I turned around and said, hey, I just received the Lunatic token, but like based on where things are sat, I'm pretty sure I'm actually the Lunatic that received the Lunatic token, and that the storyteller is pretending that I'm the real demon by giving me the Lunatic token. And then that person was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I looked at the script and there was no Lunatic on the script. But they hadn't looked at the script, and it took them days to come back to me and be like, there's no Lunatic on that script. By which point, I'd inadvertently positioned myself as the guy that was going to be in Final Three. So I had to have this conversation with them. I was like, oh, ha, 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 I was just having a joke. And when you didn't call me on the bluff, I thought, oh, we'll see how long we can take this. Aren't I really funny? Aren't you silly? You know, and I won. I fucking won in Final Three. but that really encompasses just how fluid you have to be if you are Legion.
I think it's generally true for sort of the characters whose ability token is quote-unquote passive, that these players benefit from being more active, like, in the game. And that's, I think, true starting with, like, the Soldier in Troubled Brewing and going all the way to Legion in the super advanced scripts, is the more your ability doesn't give you a mechanical effect on the game once the game starts, which Legion's basically doesn't, the more you have to be active participant. And especially with Legion, I want to say, like, the number one reason I see Legion games go off the rails, both on a mechanical basis for Team Legion and on a social basis for how fun the game is when Legion players just sort of stop trying, is the best way I can put it. They just sort of sit in their seats, waiting for their turn to talk to the good players, because what are they going to talk to with their fellow Legions with? It's not like they can make any choices. It's not what, and they just, like, and this is especially noticeable online, but it happens in person too, where you'll just have like 10 Legions all like sitting in their chairs waiting for their turn to talk to the three good players, and you're like, and the good players, they notice his effect. They notice that Legion's not doing anything except for trying to talk to them, and they're like, that's weird. Like, I think with more than almost any other character with Legion, you have to make the game your own. Whether that's, you know, bluffing off-script characters you haven't checked the script yet, or, you know, trying something else, or even just, like, you know, grabbing a random Legion and saying, hey, can we go off in the corner? And then talking about, like, the movie you saw last night, or the sports game, or your kids, or whatever else. Like, it's gonna look like a real conversation while you are talking to make the good players not notice that you're being very Legion-y. I think is super important for Legion. Legion really benefits from active bluffing, active mimicking of being good players trying to solve games, and it really suffers both on a mechanical and social level when you get the 10 Legions sitting in the room waiting for their turn to talk to the good players who know things effect, because yes, you have to convince the good players. Yes, you need to talk to the good players. But part of it, convincing the good players and talking to the good players, is not making it super obvious that the only thing you care about is talking to the good players.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that dreaded phrase when you're a Legion in a Legion game, this feels like a Legion game, is that you almost go through a series of stages of losing a Legion game, right? You start off with you're massively in the majority and you're winning. And then there's this moment where people start being suspicious that it could be a Legion game. Then there's the moment when everyone agrees that it's a Legion game. Then there's the moment when they've worked out who the Legions are. Every time you pass one of those milestones, you get a little bit closer to losing. So the more that, like, the slower that you can make that trudge past those milestones, the more likely you are to win. If you can get to the final stage of the game without them being certain it's a Legion game, you're in a very strong position. If you can get to the final stage of the game and everyone is certain it's a Legion game, but they don't know who the Legion are, you're still in quite a strong position. But so everything that you do from the moment the game begins to the moment it ends should be in aid of just putting the brakes on that vehicle as much as possible, right?
My favorite thing about Legion, and it kind of lends itself to this sort of thought. My favorite thing about Legion is that there's a lot of room for you to make quote unquote mistakes. There's a lot of room for you to just do stuff, right? Like in a Legion game, I think there's some people, and there's no shade on this, who get anxious about pulling red tokens, and who especially get anxious about pulling the demon token. Legion is freedom. You can die. You can do whatever you want. You can claim whatever you want. You can double claim people. You can bluff almost anything. And it's not really going to make that much of an impact on your team. You want to try not to give away that it's Legion. But outside of that, you have the space to do a lot. And if you get killed, you know, it's kind of okay. There's, you know, some number of other Legions to take your place. It's sort of the power of Legion is giving you a lot more freedom. And on the flip side, you know, you only have to get one or two good players killed to win most of the time, to put yourself in a good situation to win. So remember that you do have to do that part. It is important that you get those good players killed. I have watched quite a few Legion games and Legions in story games I'm storytelling. All push on each other and do a great job of make it look like not a Legion game, but then also forget to kill the good players. So you do have to do both parts, but again, it's very forgiving in terms of evil play. If you get killed on day one as an evil in a regular game of Trouble Brewing, that can feel pretty rough. If you get killed day one as an evil in a Legion game, it's fried.
Yeah, it almost doesn't matter, especially if the good team don't work out, it's a Legion game, because then you still look good. Mm-hmm. And you have to make up less information as well if you die first in a Legion game.
Yeah. I would say, though, like, and I largely agree with all that, but Clock Tower is also, it's a war, not a battle, right? Especially in the bigger Legion games where there's going to be 4 or 5 good players. Like, if you, day one, if, like, one good player votes is the first player to vote, and they vote on the good player, and then to all 10 of you throw your hands up because you can get a good player executed. You've won the battle of getting one of the four good players executed you needed executed. But I'm not sure you've really advanced your cause of winning the war when you all did a very, like, very legion-y hands rise up just to get this one good player executed on day one. Obviously, if it's, like, you're down to two good players left and you have an opportunity to get one of them executed, go for it. That's your win condition.
All in, baby.
But, like, it's not the worst thing in the world for Legion if... Because the storyteller is going to have to start telling good players at night in bigger games if, like, good players aren't getting executed in the day. And especially if good starts to sniff out that it's a Legion game and then some of the good players start getting killed at night, that can be really useful for Legion because now you can cast doubt on their information. You can say, it's weird the best player died, right? Maybe we should be doubting their information. So don't be too focused on winning, like, the early skirmishes as Legion. It's nice when you can get them, but it's also nice when you can force the storyteller in a situation where, okay, now they have to kill the empath who's clearing one of the other good players, and the third good player has to say, well, maybe that empath wasn't clearing John. Maybe that empath was a Legion pretending to clear John. Like, that's not the worst thing in the world for you. Because your ultimate goal is to win the execution on Final 3. It's not to win the game on day one of a 15-player game, because you can't.
And just to...
Yeah.
Just to build on
Emma's... Sorry, go ahead, Milt.
Yeah, just to build on Emma's point, Legion games most of the time are going to go the distance. Because there's so many evils to kill off, you're not going to have, like, a day 3 game end unless the good players have been killed off. And since the storyteller's not going to kill good players in the night early in the game most of the time, you're going to go deep into a Legion game, which does mean you have the time to sort of let those plays set up. You do have the time to kind of wait on some things. Just make sure you, you know, are also being active enough that when you get toward the end, the storyteller, you know, can kill the things that they need to kill.
Yeah, definitely. I think you both touched on really what the essence of playing Legion is there, especially Emma with your it's a war, not a battle comment, because essentially what you need to do in a Legion game is some of you need to win hearts and minds, right? Not all of you, not even most of you, just some of you. And you are a little bit like a big evil empire that's trying to convince the little guerrilla fighters of a tiny island nation to throw down their arms and accept you as their overlords.
You
saying,
are the
hey,
bad
look,
guy.
Some of us have done atrocious things, but am I really that bad? I'm not too bad, right? And it really is like a war of trying to win hearts and minds, because if you can, you need to convince a few of them that you're all on the same side. And as you've said, you do that by not all throwing your hands up at once, by not all going for the jugular really near the beginning of the game. It's very rare that you're going to get an early win as Legion. Very, very rare. You need to dig in and play the long game and win over some of the good team to your side and convince some of those goodies in the late game that those other goodies were always Legion or were always evil. And they have to be alive goodies as well. It's easy to convince people that dead good players in a Legion game were always Legion, but it's incredibly difficult to convince one good player who is alive in Final 3 that the one other good player alive in Final 3 with them is Legion. And that's something that you have to set up way, way earlier in the game. You have to be thinking about that from, like, within a few minutes of the game starting. Which of these good guys do we think we can get to turn on each other?
And I think one of the pieces of convincing the good team that good players are Legion, or are evil at least, and that Legion players are good, I think part of that is your bluffing strategy. And I think we should probably talk about that a little bit with regard to Legion in terms of what characters do you bluff? How do you think about what you're going to bluff? You know, if you want to simulate a non-Legion game, some of you are going to have to be outsiders. Some of you are going to have to be minions, right? How do you kind of figure out, like, what you're going to do on day one? And then from there, expand on out.
Yeah. So I'm just going to, we'll talk about this more in storytelling, as I said earlier. I've come around to rarely, if ever, giving Legion bluffs. And same. One of the reasons I don't anymore is I give Legion sometimes what I think are useful buffs that will help them with the good team of set in the bag, like I would for any other demon. And then I'll see all my Legions refuse to use the buffs they were given. Anyway,
that.
And I'm like, well, if they're just going to do this, I'm not going, like, what is the point of even giving them buffs? Now, I think there's other reasons for not giving Legions buffs, which I'll talk about later, but if your storyteller has given you buffs as Legion, it's because they think, based on the bag they've set up, these are some information roles that actually could help Legion if Legion is claiming them. So, I would say if you have buffs, someone on Legion should be using them. If you've been given an outsider bluff, there's probably a reason the storyteller thinks that it's important that one of you is claiming outsider. If you're given a farmer bluff, you know, it's probably important. The storyteller probably thinks it'll be helpful for you if you guys fake a farmer chain at some point. Like, use the bluffs that the storyteller gives you if you've given them, but you're not always going to have bluffs because some Legion storytellers are mean like me and say no.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, when it comes to bluffing as Legion, you're a bit like, especially in larger games, you're a bit like a sort of 8, 9, 10 piece band that are jamming. You have to be paying attention to what the other musicians are playing and understanding when the key changes happen, understanding when it's time to stop playing chords and play a guitar solo and be like, wah, 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 yeah, I've never been the empath, really. I know that's what he's claiming. I was actually the goon, you know, or whatever. And just know, like, when to do those things and make them seem believable, because if you aren't paying attention to what the other legions are doing and aren't just kind of having a level of synergy, just like a band that isn't doing that, it's just going to be a cacophonous noise and you're going to be 9 people in the room making terrible noises, and that's going to draw attention to you in any room that you're in. And so I think we'll talk about giving legions bluffs later in this podcast, but I'm actually a fan of going the opposite direction, Emma, and spreading the bluffs out a bit. I'll usually pick 4 to 6 bluffs, and I'll give like these people in this corner these 3, and these people in this corner 2 of those and another 1, etc., so that they're all kind of spread around. But I think as Legion, you have to kind of you should sort of 1 or 2 of you should be going with those bluffs, and the rest of you should be just going with other stuff. But you have to, someone has to take those bluffs.
Yeah, the bluffs, if you get bluffs, the bluffs are there to tell you something that the storyteller thinks will help you win the game, which in a Legion game, it's going to be stuff that is useful for Legion to be claiming based on the bag the storyteller has built. Something else is when you're Legion that you can do is bluffing is to bluff being a minion, or bluff minion abilities are in play.
One of my favorite things.
This can be tricky. I've seen games where Legion has done a good job of bluffing, say, Harpy or Serenovus Madness, only for the good team to say, well, if it's Legion, anyone who's claiming Harpy or Serenovus Madness is part of the Legion. And then you have to pivot to being like, okay, who has not been part of the Harpy and Serenovus shenanigans? They have to be our designated survivor. Hope they're in a good situation. So you do have to be careful with it, but like, it can be really effective if you can spread like fake Harpy or Serenovus madness around, and then when you get executed, oh my god, the Serenovus ability stopped. Because then it seems a lot less like Legion, and any good player whose information is indicating it's Legion starts looking a little suspicious.
Yeah, that's strong.
I'm a simple man. When I play Magic the Gathering, I run mono red. Like, that's kind of a good example of where my mind is at when it comes to stuff like this. If I play in a Legion game, it's usually with very experienced players. I usually take the assumption that they will inevitably learn it's a Legion game. Because I know I can do this, but I can't do the other thing, I do the thing that I know I can do. And the thing that I know I can do is go in the Legion tunnel after about 15 minutes and not come back out of it. Because somebody has to. Somebody has to be the guy near the end who looks like he's always thought it was Legion and therefore can't possibly be Legion. So that's kind of my very blunt, simplistic, idiot strategy that I do. But it seems to work largely. And I think, again, I keep saying this will be the. We'll say this a lot. We'll probably touch on this when we talk about storytelling. But I generally find that with a group of reasonably experienced players who've played a bunch of Legion games already, them learning that it's a Legion game is almost inevitable. And you just kind of have to prepare for that. And some of you have to volunteer to be the guys that run the final stretch with the baton. So I usually just go to be that guy. But I got all the respect in the world for people who are like, you know, I was chosen by the Serenovus for three nights in a row. And I, you know, and but I was claiming three different characters. I can't explain why. Like, fair play. If you're gonna do that, like, you're a better man than me. But there's no way I'm doing that.
I would agree with you that most of the time, good's gonna solve its Legion, and your designated survivor is ultimately gonna be someone who has not been part of any effort to convince people it's not Legion through mechanical things. But it can be a good distraction for a while, which is always
for sure,
a lot
yeah.
of being evil is a distraction.
And again, this again perfectly brings back to the band jamming. Like, we can't all play bass. We can't all play drums, right? We've all got to play different instruments in the Legion jazz rock fusion band. And it's important that we quickly and quietly establish, possibly without even really speaking to each other, what instruments we're all going to play as this jam goes on.
Yeah, and I think another piece of this puzzle is most of the time Legion is going to get solved in games with experienced players. But there might always be, even in games with experienced players, there might always be some people who are on the, they're not 100% sure, they're on the fence, right? And as a Legion player, those are the players you want to look for, because those are the good team players you really want to talk to and get in with, right? You want to get in with the ones who aren't certain it's Legion, so that you can have that conversation. And if you can be the one convincing, if you're an evil player on the Legion, and you could convince a good player who's on the fence that it's a Legion game, and then it becomes pretty evident that it's a Legion game, you look really, really good.
Yeah, the social cred is off. Like, I actually experienced the opposite in this game I played yesterday, where I'd been pushing Legion all game, and then one good player, seemed to be convinced that it was a Vortox game, which admittedly did explain most of the information. And so they were like, I'm suspicious of you pushing this Legion narrative. And I'm just sat there thinking, mofo, I know it's a Legion game. I'm not pushing a narrative at all. You're pushing a narrative. I'm just telling you the truth.
That good player that refuses to believe it's a Legion when you're a Legion telling them it's a Legion.
The righteous indignation of a liar who is telling the truth.
One of my favorite things in Clock Tower, I could talk poetically about that particular. The number of evil players I've caught out over the years by either me double claiming one of their buffs or watching someone else double claim one of their buffs, and the anger in their face that is unmistakable about how they know you're lying and can't say it.
I know you're not the investigator! Stop claiming investigator!
Does anyone have any sort of final thoughts on playing as Legion before we touch base on how to fight Legion as good?
I think that playing as Legion is largely about doing the opposite of what you would normally do if you were an evil player. I think, like, if you're going to take one thing into playing Legion, it's, you know, all the instincts that you have as evil, where you're like outnumbered and fragile and every loss is massive because if it's a minion, you've lost a lot of your utility, and if it's a demon, you've lost the game. And every time someone says they think you're evil, it's another nail in the coffin because, oh God, all I've got is trust. You just invert all of that and play in the opposite way. And that's not a very nuanced bit of advice, but if you start from there, you'll start in a pretty good place, and you'll start to get good at playing Legion, because it does require you to unlearn a lot of at least the mathematical and mechanical sides of playing evil.
Try things like don't worry about being in double claims with Legion. Don't worry about being in double claims, especially with good players. If you can get into a good double claim from with a good player off the hop in a Legion game, like if you can make that one for one trade, it is worth it. It is very worth it to make the one for one trade when it's you versus three good players. If you like, and that's how a lot of people will deal with double claims. But more than anything else, do stuff. Just do something. Like, the worst thing for Legion, as I said earlier, is when Legion are sitting there doing nothing. The number of Legion games where Legion, I've seen where Legion could easily have won, but instead, like, half the Legion were just sitting in their chairs looking sad because they didn't know what to do because they were just Legion and it was inevitable it was going to be found out it was Legion and they were just going to all die. And they weren't making an effort. When I was listening into the conversations of the good players, knowing the good players had doubts, knowing the good players easily could make mistakes, and the Legion, if the Legion had been active, they could have done something with it, is more than I can count. And it makes me sad every time. It doesn't matter if you get executed in the Legion game. To a degree, you want to be executed. To a degree, it's better than dying at night, because when you die at night in a Legion game, you're definitely Legion. When you're executed, you might not be. So just do stuff. Try it. If it blows up in your face, there's seven more of you. You cut off one head, and who gives a shit?
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, honestly, that's just great advice for playing evil in general. It's just monumentally more important in a Legion game, right? Look like you're solving the game. Look busy. Look engaged. Otherwise, it'll be obvious that you're evil. And in a Legion game, it'll be 20 times more obvious that you're evil because you're not even you've not even got other things to do in a Legion game other than look busy.
Shall we get into how to fight against the Legion? Because that's the much more daunting task in some ways.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Step one to fighting Legion. Notice that Legion is on the script. And don't just put your hand up every time someone says something you like. So yeah, I think like the main thing with Legion, right, is that you've got a lot of power on the good team in Legion because they need you to vote in order to win. They can't do it themselves. They have to convince you to vote. And so every time a nomination is made, you need to give it a level of scrutiny that you normally wouldn't. That you would normally be like, oh, okay, we'll give this a go. Or I'm willing to be convinced. I'll give this the opportunity. Or whatever. I'll put my hand up just so that it's got the minimum number of votes. We can lift it elsewhere. All of that stuff, put it in the bin. Straight in the garbage in a Legion game. Every single vote could be a game-ending vote. And that goes doubly if you are in a smaller game. And again, this is probably something, or maybe we should, sorry, I'm taking up all the air here, but there's something about Legion games that I think a lot of people don't notice, and it's really important, and it's important for both the storyteller and the good team. And it's this: everyone realizes in a Legion game that the number of good and evil players is inverted, right? But what a lot of people don't notice is that the victory conditions are not inverted with those numbers, right? So in a normal game of, let's say, Trouble Brewing, it's a 12-player game, you've got three evil players. If one of those evil players dies, you're not actually a third of the way to losing the game. You're none of the way to losing the game because the demon is still alive. Obviously, there's more nuance to it than that. Sure, if you've lost a Scarlet Woman, you're a little bit closer. But the point is, the way you lose as evil in a normal game is the demon dies. And the way you win as evil in a normal game is that you make it to the end. When you invert those numbers for a Legion game, if you've got a 9-player Legion game with two good players in it and one of you dies, it's game over. It doesn't make any difference which one of you it is. You've lost. If you are in a 12-player game as good in a Legion game and one of you dies, you are a third of the way to losing. It's just a fact. So the inversion of those numbers, it doesn't scale in the same way that it does on the inverse. And that's something that you have to be acutely aware of, because it's almost a, I don't want to say a weakness, of the mechanic from a game design perspective, but it really does force you to think about it in a different way. When you pull a good token in a Legion game, you have to get yourself into the entrenched mindset very quickly, because you might need to be there, and you might need to not accept that you can be executed and not vote on anyone unless you're absolutely certain they're evil, because it could literally lose the game for you on day one if you do.
Yeah. Legion voting is interesting because essentially both teams have to agree on an execution, right? Because Legion has the majority of voters, but if at least one good player doesn't participate, the vote fails. So it's not like you're going to get executions that Legion is opposed to most of the time. They're not going to let you execute the player who might be good as a Legion if in a Legion game on 8 alive, so you can bring that, so you can keep make sure that player isn't in final 3. Because the Legion are just going to say, no, you have to vote on someone who is definitely Legion in the Legion game. And not give you the votes to execute the player who might be good, might be evil. But that doesn't mean, like, but your agreement to it still matters. So you have to be very careful about when you vote. That doesn't mean you shouldn't vote. Sometimes you see Legion games that sort of drag a little bit because the good players notice Legion's on the script and they're just like, all right, I'm going to put my hands at my side, see what happens with this voting. Well, what's going to happen with this voting is Legion's going to notice that all the good players' their hands are at their sides, and they're going to put their hands at their sides too. And you're going to get through day one, day two, and no one's going to be executed, and everyone's going to be sitting there having a miserable time. You have to take some risks, but you want to be more careful with your voting than you do normally. You want to feel good about the reasons you're voting, like Ben said.
Yeah, and I think your position in the circle matters more as a good player in a Legion game than it does in pretty much any other scenario that you're going to be in as a Clock Tower player. Because if the guy who's been nominated, if you're the last person to vote on them, that gives you a degree of power that is completely robbed of you if you're the first person to vote on them. If you're the first person to vote on them and Legion are paying attention, they can then sort of slowly raise their hands as the votes go around, and it all can all look very natural if they're smart and synergized, and all of a sudden you could have, you know, really mm-hmm. kind of, again, be in a position where you've like already a third lost the game or something. Whereas if you're the last guy to vote on someone and there is almost enough votes to get them on the block, all of a sudden you're the guy that gets the veto, essentially. And I know that's the case in a regular game, but it goes doubly so in a Legion game, because it may very well be the fact that all the other people that voted a Legion.
I'm going to very briefly rant about what I like to refer to as the speculative evil vote, and that's the one vote before the vote that puts somebody on the block. Evil players are incentivized to put up their hand in a regular game or a Legion game to see if a good player who's after them in the voting order might raise their hand. And in a Legion game, this is exceptionally even greater, because if no goods have voted and Legion can get one less than the number of votes on, then you as the last player to vote might just put up your hand, and that's great for them. And in the normal game, evil players will do this too, where let's say you need 6 votes to execute. It's not the person who puts the 6th vote on the player, right, who's just trying to get something onto the block. Good players often just want to try to get something onto the block. It's the person who puts the 5th vote on that enables that 6th vote who's likely to be evil, right? Because evil is incentivized to throw that hand up to let you make the mistake and put a good player on the block. And in Legion games, this is even more obvious because they really need you to make that mistake. And if only 5 votes go on, it just looks fine, right? It's like, oh, we just didn't get quite enough to vote. You know, you're like, oh, well, I just didn't think they were evil, so I didn't raise my hand. And it all looks perfectly normal to put 5, you know, one less than the number of votes that's needed. And Legion doesn't get outed that way. So it's very powerful for Legion to put the second to last vote onto a player to try to get them executed and enable that execution. I wanted to mention something else about information. In a Legion game, you are very likely to be a townsfolk if you are good. There, we can talk a little bit about outsiders and whatever later. But in a Legion game, the only misinformation really available to Legion is their ability to misregister as a minion. They register as both a minion and a demon. So the only real information that's available that messes with you is that specific piece of misinformation, which means that you can trust your information. So that's, first of all, a good starting point. And second of all, you can't necessarily count on having a lot of information to corroborate your information because the majority of other people will be lying. And it's really important that if you have like four or five people who are building a world that seems coherent and your information says something different, it's pretty critical for you to go, that seems odd, because those coherent worlds are probably built on information that's not true because Legion are lying about their information.
This is why I love putting apprentice minions in Legion games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is a really good point, actually, as well. Yeah, if you figured out it's Legion, then, and if the unless the storyteller is inexperienced or doing something unusual, pretty much guaranteed that what you know is what you know. It's just a case of convincing everyone else of that, really. Or, well, of convincing two other people of that.
Yeah, it's... And you do ultimately need to convince the entire good team. Because that final three vote, it still just takes one good player to vote with Legion, and you all go down with the ship. This is part of my general advice for Clock Tower, is never get yourself into a tunnel where this player must be evil, so I'm gonna just treat them as evil, disregard everything they say, stop trying to convince them. Never let yourself that happen to yourself, because everyone is wrong sometimes. Even if you're the best Clock Tower in the world, player in the world, you're wrong some of the time. And in a Legion game, if you're wrong some of the time and you stop trying to convince one of the good players and you let Legion be the people whispering in their ear and the good team not be, they are going to vote with Legion, because Legion are the people, because we all, like, it's your natural humanity. It's when someone says, hey, that's a pretty good point, Ben. It makes you go, yeah, I am smart. I'm a good person. I know what I'm talking about. This person's probably smart, too. And they're probably a good person because they agree that I'm smart and a good person. And they're going to be, like, naturally inclined to want to agree with that person and vote with them. So if there's one player on the Legion who's doing that, and you on the good team's going, Ben's a fucking moron. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's saying stupid things. Ben's not going to vote with me. I'm being, like, rude to Ben. So as a good player, you really, even more than in other scripts, in other situations where you should do it because it's the nice thing to do, and it's the humble thing to do, and it's that we're all wrong sometimes to do, of keep like talking to players who you think are evil and trying to see, hey, what if they're good? What does that work like? And try to convince them of your world. In Legion, it's even more important, because if you give up on one good player, that makes it much easier for Legion to get in that person's head.
Yeah, absolutely. Hearts and minds, right? Legion needs to win them. Don't let them win them.
I think one of my pet peeves about Clock Tower is maybe it's not a pet peeve, maybe. It's one of my secrets of playing Clock Tower better is to be a better listener. How about I'll say it this way? And I think in Legion games, being a better listener helps you a lot, especially listening to defenses. Good players really don't want to get killed in a Legion game. And if you have a reason to believe it's a Legion game, throughout the game, Legion are generally going to be more open to being killed, because they know they have that fallback, and good players are going to be pretty desperate not to get killed. And you should try to listen to defenses in Clock Tower in general, but also you should try to listen closely when you think it's a Legion, because you should be able to identify people who are more concerned about getting killed. And those players are more likely to be good.
Yeah, absolutely.
That doesn't mean they all are, right? Evil can fake it, but...
Absolutely. And especially in, I think we'll go through a kind of Clock Tower journey, right? Where we start off thinking that it's just like Mafia and we should all fight tooth and nail. And then we get to a point where it's like, oh, now the in thing to do is to be like, I don't mind dying. I'm happy to die today or whatever. And when you get to the Legion part of it, you need to kind of unlearn the I'm happy to die bit. So I think you might often find that if you've got inexperienced players, they are happy to die even when they're good. Which is bad because it makes them look legion-y, and it also makes them lose the game for the good team. So you have to kind of make sure that you're not interpreting their willingness to die as being evidence of legion when it's actually just evidence of their lack of experience.
Yeah, somewhere along the way we learned that. It's like as a community, we learned, oh, if I'm willing to die, I seem more good, and evil just picked right up on that. And now everyone's willing to die all the time.
Yeah. But again, it's about the inversion, right?
Yeah.
We seem good because we're willing to die because there's loads of us in a normal game of Blood on the Clock Tower. If there's not loads of you, you should not be willing to die. But of course, someone encountering Legion for the first time, especially if it's this script, are going to be like, oh, okay, Vortox, yeah, I'm familiar with that one, so we've got to make sure we execute every day. Ah, Pow, of course, we'll know if that one comes along if we get a bunch of deaths in the night. Oh, ho, might not have seen that before, but it just kills a thing each night. And then Legion, oh, wow, this big, confusing new thing, I don't, you know, that might as well be an alien. I've got no idea how that functions. I've never seen it before, and I can't envision how it functions. And so, actually, I would go so far as to say, if you are a good player and a reasonably experienced good player and there's Legion on the script, make sure you have the conversation, or ideally your storyteller has the conversation with the inexperienced players about the pitfalls and the traps that Legion brings along, because that could be a very quick way to having a very unsatisfactory game of Clock Tower if they just get absolutely smashed to pieces because they don't know that they need to adjust their strategy a little bit.
Something else I just noted about Fighting Legion, there's like different types of evil team alignments, and some of them really encourage good players to lie more. Like, you can include outsiders as part of the evil team alignments, and like this, if you think about it. Like, Trouble Brewing is for an example of a script that has lots of secret incentives for the good player team to lie, at least some of the times. Like, if you're lying a little bit, you can help figure out if it's a spy game, and figuring out which minion type is in play in Trouble Brewing is both very hard and very powerful for the good team if they can correctly solve it. Like, Fortune Tellers and Raven Keepers both, like, have huge incentives to try to hide their role from the evil team in Trouble Brewing. Unlike Damsel scripts, it sort of puts pressure on the entire good team to lie a little bit, so it's harder for the evil team to suss out of, okay, this person has bad information, they're the damsel. Legion sort of has the opposite effect. Legion is a demon where it's strongly incentivizing good players to tell the truth. It's strongly incentivizing, like, if you have information clearing someone, you need to sing it from the rooftop so the player who hasn't heard that information doesn't vote on the player you know is good because you're the... We're just looking at some roles that are in our example script. Say you're the pixie who saw their role. We all know there's players who tell the truth a lot in Clock Tower, and there's players who lie a lot in Clock Tower as good. And there's players who switch in between those modes. If you're a player who likes to lie a lot and you're playing a Legion script, it's time for you to start learning how to switch into the I need to tell the truth a little bit more mode, especially if I have information that makes someone seem good.
I really like to think about Clock Tower scripts, especially the base three, and then to some extent some Clock Tower characters, as like incentives to learn how to play differently in a way that keeps the game fresh and interesting. So that, you know, when you first learn how to play the game, you play Trouble Brewing and you learn about information and world building and, you know, kind of this like bluffing that Emma was talking about. You sort of lie a little bit about your role, and then you play Sex and Violets and you learn about misinformation and how deep misinformation can affect you and how evil can, you know, evil players have to really do stuff to impact the game because their abilities aren't passive anymore. Their abilities are really active. And then BMR introduces a whole different way of thinking about solving a game and solving a puzzle where you have to think about, you know, not information that's direct, but indirect information and what you do with that. And I think Legion teaches some really important lessons about how you can play the game in a different way and incentivizes you to sort of change your play style to fit the game that you're playing. And I think there's a lot of value in that, both from a, you know, if you want to grow as a Clock Tower player, not everybody does, and that's okay. But if you want to grow as a Clock Tower player and learn to play differently or learn to play, you know, in other styles, you know, it's a really nice thing about the game as a whole and Legion in specific that it teaches you. It teaches you how to play as you play, which is really fun.
Should we talk about that one Legion thing about them all bluffing the same character? Or is that just so, is that so commonly widespread known that we don't need to cover it?
I think we should talk about it, because I do think it can come up, especially if your group is newer to Legion. And I mean... There are some things we take for granted as experienced players sometimes because we don't see it necessarily in the circles that we sit in. And I think it's worth kind of mentioning it, at least to an extent. So, Ben, you want to talk about it? It's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, assuming the game's being run in a sort of default manner and the storyteller just gives all the Legion three bluffs, even if they give the Legion more than three bluffs, it's very common in a Legion game for those evil players to start tripping over each other. Three of them are bluffing Empath, two of them are bluffing Librarian, four of them are all claiming to be a fisherman. You know, these, like, you can catch Legion out by discerning what the bluffs were, and then just figuring out which players were bluffing as those particular characters. I think a more experienced group of Legion, they'll usually make sure that doesn't happen, or it will be harder to discern. You'll notice that three people were bluffing Empath on day one, but two of them, after having a conversation amongst the three of them, are now claiming two other things, and one of them got into another double claim, and okay, so Empath was probably a bluff originally, and then they had a quick chat and got their shit together, and two of them decided to back off onto other things. So that's something that you should be looking out for, because it's definitely a mistake that they can and will make, but it's not always that reliable as well, especially with the fact that on some scripts, players will default to claiming a certain thing. For example, Sex and Violets, everyone claims to be a juggler. Not just by juggling, but also be like, hey, I'm the juggler, what can I juggle you as? Mm-hmm. It's just a thing that people claim, right? Because it's an easy thing to claim, and it's an easy way to extract information from people. I'm the gossip, what should I say? All these kind of things. Like, so you can't always rely on a series of double, triple, or quadruple claims to be evidence of Legion, but it's certainly it's a start. It's one of the worlds that you should be building early.
And then in the same vein, hey, why are there no outsiders in this game? Like, okay, maybe they're all hidden, but most scripts are not necessarily going to have, like, multiple hidden outsiders, you know, at the same time. So, hey, there's a bunch of people double claiming, and there's no outsider claims, and we haven't seen any evidence of minions. There don't seem to be any minion abilities going off. Right, those are all things that can be indicators, if you combine them together, of a disorganized Legion, of a Legion that hasn't managed to get their bluff sorted, or a Legion that hasn't sort of built a coherent world.
If like one Legion's claimed to be Serenova's mad, and another Legion's claimed to be Harpy mad, and a third Legion is claiming to be, I don't know,
Pit-hagged,
and a fourth Legion's claiming, their neighbor told them they were the marionette.
And a fifth one's claiming to be a lunatic, even though there isn't one on the script. Then you know.
Yeah, no, sometimes lunatics sneak up onto you in our scripts, and you're the lunatic even though the storyteller forgot to put it on the script.
That's right. Sometimes you just hope you're the lunatic. shall we move into storytelling? I think we've given a pretty good overview on how to fight the Legion.
The first thing we sort of talk about here is what we sort of look for when we're looking for a script if we want to play a Legion game, or play or give our players the Legion experience, which includes a Legion script where Legion's not in play, because part of the Legion experience is the paranoia that it fosters when it's out of play. What are you looking for in a script with Legion on it, generally?
I think Legion is an incredibly adaptable demon that can go on almost anything except the things that it obviously doesn't go with, like, you know, Leviathan and stuff like that. But the great thing about Legion is it can kill more than one at night. So that means that it works with even, look, this script, for example, has got a Poe on it. It's got Assassin on it. Like, you can absolutely chuck Legion on a script with any number of deaths, and it's still very doable. You can put Legion on a script where there is a high chance of no one dying at night, because it's only each night a player might die. You can put Legion on scripts that have all different kinds of townsfolk and outsiders, because essentially they're all just going to be picking bluffs at random and trying to come together to synergize and make it work. So I think that Legion is almost on the same level as Marionette or Drunk, in that it fits on pretty much any script, and a reasonably competent storyteller can make it work.
Yeah, I would say, like, most of what I'm looking for in a Legion script is, I'm looking at the minion suite. If your minion suite is Vizier, Psychopath, Fearmonger, and God, what else is very hugely loud? Those three, and Organ Grinder. If those are your four minions on your script, and Legion's one of the demons, it's going to be pretty obvious it's a Legion game. Pretty quickly, when there's no Fearmonger announcement, everyone's eyes are open for every vote, no Vizier is announced, and no one's ever swinging an axe at anyone. like,
yeah.
You, even though Good's probably going to solve it's a Legion game, no matter what the minion suite is, you don't want to start off by saying, by the way, notice how none of the super loud minions that are the only minions on this script are around. Guess it's a Legion game. The other thing I would say is Legion tends to be most fun for both teams when all the good players get some piece of important information and there's still enough information left over for the evil team to bluff counter information. Which is to say, it doesn't really go on BMR. It doesn't really go on these super low info scripts like BMR. It goes on scripts that have enough info that you can do that fairly to both teams, where the good players can get some piece of the puzzle, but the Legion has room to bluff counter pieces of the pot floor.
I do think Legion is slightly more permeable to one or two BMR characters being on the script than most other demons. BMR wants to be its own thing most of the time. It's often hard to take things from BMR and put them onto other scripts. But I think Legion is at least permits for you to put one or two BMR-type characters onto a script with Legion. Gambler is an example of something that can be on a script with Legion. May not want to be in play with Legion as a separate conversation, but it can be on a script with Legion because Legion can bluff being the gambler. Right, and it's a reasonable thing that they can bluff. Gossip, you know, often is very confirmable if it's on a script where there's just not that many extra reasons for other kills. Right, it can kind of work with Legion. So I agree with Emma. Mostly, it doesn't want to be on BMR, but I think it does give you a little bit of space, just a little bit more space for some of the BMR things that don't work elsewhere.
Yeah, I think you could make it work in BMR, but you would have to choose very carefully what you put in the bag. I think I really enjoy putting Chambermaid in with Legion.
It's
one of my favorite combos.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're absolutely right, to be fair. I think I probably oversold how diverse it is, especially with the minion thing. Although I would argue if those are the four minions on your scripts, then maybe reassess.
Maybe you've made some
reassess
mistakes.
The whole script, not just with Legion's existence on it. I think the most, at least for me, the lesson that I've learned the most, and the one that I would want to pass on the most about running Legion, is that you're going to run one of two Legion games when you run a Legion game. And it's either going to be a Legion game for people who don't know about Legion, or a Legion game for people who do know about Legion. And when you run a Legion game for inexperienced players, Legion often has a very easy time and will overwhelm them, and the good team will probably lose. And if you run a Legion game for experienced players, Legion will inevitably slip up at some point. They'll get caught out. It'll very quickly, or not necessarily quickly, but will almost inevitably be discovered by the good team that it's a Legion game. And Legion will have a rough ride towards the end where they're desperately trying to build worlds where the one remaining Legion is not actually Legion. And those two games require a completely different set of skills from the storyteller. They might as well not be the same character for the difference in the way that they're played. If you've got newbies, you need to give them very overt information that leads them towards having some sort of chance to figure out it's a Legion game. You need to be very careful about who you kill at night. You need to really like remind them that Legion is on the script before the game is run and all this kind of stuff, because like they will be happy to die and they will all put their hand up and vote alongside and yeah, let's kill the chef because this script's got a cannibal on it, etc., etc. When you're running that one for the more experienced players, you need to be part of that band that is having a jam that we mentioned in the previous segment. You need to be looking at who is believed, who's pushing Legion Worlds, who isn't, who are you going to kill at night, who are you going to leave alive. You need to have a handful of candidates who might be your final day Legion guy and be malleable about it and be willing to throw some of them in the bin or even under the bus to make sure that the Legion have got a chance in that final three. Yeah, really have to... The old adage of the storyteller needs to enable evil players has never been more true than with this character. And you absolutely can and will run frustrating Legion games until you've developed that set of skills. It's really hard to do. And I think it's a big part of the reason why Legion's a bit of a controversial character. I think that there are a lot of frustrating Legion games being run out there simply because it's got such a steep learning curve for both player and storyteller.
Yeah, I think it's a skill set that takes... I 100% agree with you, Ben. I think it's a skill set that takes time to develop. And I would ask, you know, I would sort of make a small plea to players to be a little bit patient with storytellers who are learning how to run Legion and give them some grace in terms of, you know, saying, hey, I do want my group to be able to run Legion games. I do want to be able to play in Legion games. And just because the storyteller made a choice that, you know, maybe the game was a little rough this time or, you know, they're, you know... Remember that we're all still learning, you know, all the time. We're all still growing. And if your storyteller's new to running Legion, it is going to take them some time to get used to it. Do we want to quickly revisit all those things we said at the beginning of the episode that we would talk about later when we got to storytelling?
Yeah. So there's a few, I think, big controversial storytelling questions, I think, that I've seen come up in the Clockwork community over Legion. And I think we should just talk through them. The first one is... The official guidance of the Almanac is normally you reverse player count. So, like I said, 12-player game, instead of being 9 goods, 9 evils. Instead of being 3 goods, 3 evils. This is the Almanac's official recommendation. Steve Medway also has a lengthy Legion guide that reiterates this recommendation in somewhat some detail. A lot of people don't like this recommendation. A lot of people want to put in either... an extra good player or even 2 extra good players. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about what people's general feeling is about the recommendation to either directly to the recommendation to directly reverse and when you should follow it and when you should deviate it. And yeah.
I think that it is a risk rewards situation by upping the number of good players, right? So every time you add a good player, you give yourself as a storyteller some more breathing room. You know, oh, two good players died in quick succession. Thank God I put in an extra good player. That's given me the space to make sure this doesn't go off the rails. But for every extra good player that you put in the bag, you make it exponentially more difficult for Legion to win. Unfortunately, and it's difficult to know whether or not to do that, but I almost have a kind of simple barometer type rule here where if the entire room is extremely experienced players and it's, let's say, a 12 player Legion game, I will just put 3 useful townsfolk in the bag. I'll do it because I know that these guys are experienced enough and probably, you know, mature enough to know that if the good team loses in that situation, they lost because they weren't playing like it was a Legion game and they should be doing. If it's a less experienced group, I will probably put more good players in the bag because, as we said a minute ago, good guys get smashed in a Legion game when they don't have the skills to fight Legion yet. So I think it's a good idea to put extra goodies in the bag in those scenarios. In between that, I think that if you are going to put extra good characters in the bag and it is a reasonably experienced group, consider putting an outsider in there. It's really not the end of the world. You know, especially if it's something like a Tinker, or on this script, for example, a Tinker or a Recluse, both perfectly fine choices, I think, for a Legion game. As long as you're not registering that Recluse as evil for votes and stuff like that. But I think actually dropping in an extra good player, but making them an outsider, is actually a nice compromise because the Legions are getting the fact that someone is claiming an outsider, which makes it not look like a Legion game. And the good guys are getting an extra, 25-30% of their team on top. So I think that's quite a nice compromise between the two, but I imagine that what I've just said will not resonate with that many people. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think I largely agree that if you're going to throw in an extra good player, it should be generally one extra good player and it should be an outsider. The other thing I just flag is Legion's main power is they have a voting majority of living players until final three. That's their main ability, right? Like that's their mechanical ability, is the good team can't bully Legion into executions Legion doesn't want because most players are Legion and Legion has to agree to execute anyone. If you're going to throw in two extra good players into your 12-player Legion game and the normal thing happens day one, which is a Legion gets executed, and then the storyteller does the normal thing night two, which is kill a Legion, you start day two, and it's five good players and five Legions. And good can now execute whoever they want, and Legion doesn't have to. And Legion just has to sit there and take it. So if you're going to go and throw in extra good players so that you feel like you have more space as a storyteller, or you can be a little more forgiving to your good team if they make mistakes, you have to counter that as the storyteller by killing good players at night, if good doesn't make mistakes, and killing them early so Legion maintains their voting majority. You don't want a situation where, I've played some of the worst Legion games I've ever experienced are games where, day three of the good team says, we think it's probably Legion. These are the two people who are not sure whether they're good or Legion. So instead of executing the people we know are Legion, we're going to execute them today and them tomorrow. And because the storytellers put in two extra good players at the start, Legion has literally nothing they can do except say, yeah, you got us. I guess we sit here for 4 days while you execute the only player on our team who could possibly win this game for us. And we can't even vote against it because y'all are aligned that it's you four and one of these other two and you have voting majority. So have fun with it. If you're going to put in extra good players, and they're not being executed, they need to die at night. That also does open up to stuff you can put in a Raven Keeper or a Farmer with the intention of killing them quickly. If the good team kills the Legion day one and day two, then the Raven Keeper can die night three. You need to respect... It's okay to want to give your players a little bit of a break, but you need to make sure you're not taking away what power Legion has in the process.
I really strongly agree with Emma's point that if you're going to put in extra goods, you probably need to kill them off relatively early. I think one of the dangers of having extra goods in is that it can make it easier for Legion to leverage that extra good vote, because one good player, if you have three good players, one of three people needs to, quote unquote, make a mistake, but vote on a good player for a good player to get executed. If you have four good players, you now have an extra good player to get executed, but you also have an extra good player to vote with Legion. And that makes the voting numbers a little bit tricky at times. I love the idea of adding in an outsider, especially something like a Tinker or a Recluse, where, if you kill off a Tinker on night two, that's you know, that's great. You know, now you've got a two kill knight. Maybe that makes the it look like there's more different demons. Maybe it makes it look like, in this case, Oho game or Po game, right? Maybe they're questioning about the Tinker, right? You know, and you've given yourself that little bit of space early in the game that if a good player gets killed on the first night of the game, maybe you can leave that Tinker alive. Maybe you can leave that outsider alive. I know I read back the older, like, how to run Legion guide, and one of the things they say is, hey, if you're going to put in an outsider, you know, make sure to do something so that good can figure out that they're a good player. You know, put a librarian in or do something that helps, you know, lets that outsider still get figured out by the good team. You know, give them that ability. I think the other thing is I would be cautious with how many non-information ability type roles you put into a Legion game. Even if you're going to add an extra townsfolk into a game, so you're going to have like four townsfolk in a 12-player Legion game, be cautious about putting in something like innkeeper or monk into that environment, because you're not adding information into the good team's environment, but you, and that's not going to help the good team figure out who that extra good player is, right? So like, an outsider's okay. I think even an ability kind of role that doesn't have information is okay. You just have to make sure you're willing to kill that player off. And I think those are kind of just some thoughts I have about it.
How do you guys feel about Drunken Legion?
I think you need to be careful. I would only do it to an experienced player. Who I knew was experienced. I think, like, it's... Yeah, I would only do it to an experienced player who I knew was experienced, and I thought would be able to appreciate the extra puzzle of solving out they were the drunk in the Legion game.
I think your use of terminology there says a lot as well. Do it too. Like, you really are putting someone through an ordeal if you do this too.
Well, like, it's the assumption in the Legion game is every good player is going to have one piece of critical information that's not going to be game solving alone. But if they find each other and put their pieces of information together, they'll be able to defeat Legion by making their stand as a unity. So having a good player whose information's not going to line up with what any other of the good players are saying makes it very hard for that player to be part of that, like, come together, find each other, and unify situation. So I think there's people who... I don't want to say people bad at the game, that's mean, but people who are bad at the game, I would not do that to, because I feel like they would really struggle with it. And I think there's also people who would emotionally struggle it, and I think also people who were new to Legion would sort of learn the wrong lessons about how to play Legion moving forward. But I think for the right group and the right people and the people who I knew could... There's certain players who, like, I'm like, why has the poisoner picked this player? They simply disregard information they don't believe is true if it doesn't line up with their socials, and there's poison has no effect on them. That player can be drunk in a Legion game if they're good at the game and know things well. But I think you have to be careful. I think you have to be careful about who it is and what sort of wrong information you're going to give them and how much experience with Legion they have.
I think I would be more likely to do it to... And again, using that term, do it too. I think I would be more likely to put in like a drunk mechanical role, like a drunk monk, where they could maybe figure it out and they get a piece of information out of like that sort of situation, or like do something which I quite like to do in Trump Brewing, which is put in a drunk washerwoman who just sees a role that's just not in play. You know, point at two players who aren't that thing. You know, just do something. Do something that at least gives them something to interact with, as opposed to sort of just like I probably wouldn't put a drunk seamstress into a Legion bag, because all that's going to do is, while that is going to help the evil team, it's going to completely put them at odds with the good team, because their information is just going to say a good player is evil. And that feels really unfair.
Yeah. I think also there are just, like, generally more interesting things to do in a Legion game. I think we, as storytellers, we have a lot of fondness for the drunk because it gives us a tiny little bit of control that we often sorely need. But in a Legion game, when all the Legions misregister as minions, you've always got that up your sleeve anyway. And even on this script, for example, that we're looking at now, just make a savant or a fisherman instead if you really want to have some sort of control over what kind of information those guys get. That's a much more interesting conundrum for the player, the savant having to parse what's correct and what's incorrect, especially when they have to factor in the fact that anything that's about minions could be Legions registering as minions for them. Much more interesting than just having a, you know, drunk empath or something, I think.
Yeah, even like a goon who can't turn evil because it's a Legion game and no evil players can pick them, but can create misinformation, and if they die at night can go, huh, that's weird. Even that, I think, is more interesting than a drunk.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And you may find drunk on Legion scripts, not because it's meant to go in with Legion, but because it's meant to, you know, interact with one of the other demons that's on the script, right? Which is why it's...
Yeah, and or be there for Legion to make points. I mean, back to that game I was in last night, there was... actually, as it happens, it had a Pope on the script, so the game was four... It was 10 Legions and 4 fortune tellers.
Amazing.
but I was pointing out that all of these fortune tellers getting yeses every night is functionally identical to 4 drunk fortune tellers, which is like a big linchpin part of my argument. It helps in that regard.
Yeah. I think, like, the next thing we normally do is we build a bag and talk a little bit about our bag building choices. I think that's a little weirder with Legion, but I think we should do it anyway. So let's go out to the main grim and select some characters.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
So when we do this, we always put in the character that we are that we're talking about. So Emma's gonna throw in 9 Legions.
Yeah, we'll start with 9 Legions.
Maybe we can talk about what we would do if we had 8 Legions instead as well.
Yeah. So what sort of townsfolk do you like to put in with... What sort of townsfolk would you gravitate towards putting in with 9 Legions, Ben?
So I think... I think you probably want a... You're always thinking about how this is going to look to town. And if you've got reasonably good social players who are reasonably good at sniffing out people who are being genuine, you want town to feel like there really is a guy that just got information on night one, and you want town to feel like there really is a guy or a couple of guys that are getting regular information, and of course the all-important really is a guy that's an outsider. The outsider bit, if you're going to just put 3 in the bag, I think that outsider bit is Legion's job. They need to have a good bluffer to do that. So I would, looking at this, my immediate instinct is chef, empath, and then something else, either savant or seamstress or possibly fortune teller or town crier or general. I think general's quite a difficult one to do in a Legion game. Because really, it's if you're a storyteller that takes the opinion the number of players is the main factor in who's winning and who's losing, well, the general just learns that evil's winning on night one, which is highly unusual most of the time, and then the general just spends the whole game in the Legion tunnel. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it does kind of... I don't think it's an interesting thing. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not.
I can say that, like, I can see if we did chef, empath, general, and the tokens fell the completely wrong way, I would be giving the general the biggest good in the world if the lineup was chef, empath, general, where the empath gets a 0 and the chef learns a number that is, what is it? It's for 9 legions in a row, it's a 8. Yeah, it's an 8. So the chef gets an 8, the empath gets the 0, and the general, they're getting the thumbs up with, like, I am going to have a hard time emphasizing how thumbs up that is, despite the fact that it's 9-3.
That's fascinating, because I would consider that... You've thought about that in the exact opposite way to me. You thought chef gets incredible information, empath believes chef. Whereas I've thought, oh, the empath, the character that's most likely to be detecting evils, in fact, the only character that's going to be detecting evils, is sat there not next to any evils. They are functionally useless for the one thing that we need them to do. That's a really strong start for evil. So that's interesting there, because that's a great example of how two quite experienced storytellers think about that interaction in completely different ways.
This is also super weird. I've actually run that game. I've literally run the game that Emma just said, where it's chef, empath, general, and all nine legions are in a row. I it's funny that this came up, and the good team solved it on day two. They just completely solved it out on day two, which is crazy. So there's definitely a world where this could be pretty awkward. I think it's important, an important point, and you know, I'm not super concerned about what actual specific roles we put in the bag here. But I think an important point is to give diverse types of information, as Ben pointed out. You want to give a starts knowing, you want to give an ongoing, maybe you want to give a once per game or something that gets information in a different pattern, like Ben pointed out with Savant, Seamstress, you know, Fisherman, something like that. You know, what we're not talking about here mostly is giving Innkeeper, Monk, or Farmer, right? We're not really talking about giving those mechanical roles because those players are going to have a hard time figuring out that it's a Legion game.
Yeah, I think Farmer is interesting as sort of an extra good player.
Yeah,
where you can kill them early to make it look like it's not a Legion game. Yeah,
but Monk and Innkeeper in particular have real struggles being in a Legion game, because I guess they're sort of saying to the storyteller, "You can't kill this Legion tonight," most of the time, but the storyteller is rarely going to give them saves. Maybe if they protect a good player, the storyteller might. I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah. I mean, basically, Innkeeper and Monk stop a Legion from registering as a minion to a good player. That's more or less the only thing they're going to do.
I want to highlight Savant real quick as well. I think Savant's a really interesting character with Legion, because as a storyteller, you can sort of gauge the amount of town believing that it's a Legion or not, or town being in the right worlds or not, and then you can give the Savant information that redirects them, you know, based on what you're giving. So you're probably going to give fairly standard sounding kind of Savant information early, and then later in the game you're going to give more, you know, hey, it might be a Legion game kind of focused information, or information that is going to clear some good players, things of that nature. And they're never going to be super certain about that being the truth. So I would just, you know, say that I think Savant is a really interesting tool, but it's not the same as Empath or Chef or one of these really, one of these other sort of direct information roles that can be certain that it's a Legion game.
Yeah. I like Savant or Fisherman a lot in Legion games for that reason. Yeah. Fisherman is just a bias of mine generally. It's one of my favorite townsfolk. And what I like to do with the Fisherman frequently is after an execution I'm not sure about, maybe even when I'm voted on but I'm not sure about, I go to the storyteller and say, and hope they'll give me advice for whether to keep that execution in place. That can be, if I get the advice to lift a player on a Legion script as the Fisherman, I am going to be terrified.
That is so good.
Good to know. I'll keep that in my back pocket for later. Thank you, Emma.
but Savant gives the storyteller a lot of flexibility with the true and false statements to both support Legion and also help good if good is struggling, which is something I think you want as a storyteller in a Legion game.
How do you guys feel about Librarian in Legion? Because that's an interesting one, right? Especially if we assume this 12-player setup, you either give them a zero, which is brutal for Legion, or you give them an outsider to see, but there's a very real chance that one or both of those are going to be alive very late in the game.
Yeah, I think with Vortox and Drunk on the script, I don't hate the Librarian zero.
That's a good point, yeah.
Because Legion can argue, one, this is a Legion going for a cheap bluff. 2, it's a Vorfox game and there really is an outsider. 3, this librarian is the drunk. So I think, like, it's something that's very script dependent. On this script, I think librarian is fine in a Legion game because you can still, I think on any player count, you can either have the outsider or not have the outsider, and Vordox and drunk make it bearable for Legion. Marionette, too, can get a 0, which is funny.
Any confirmation pair in a Legion game is probably going to need to be a confirmation pair that is in a plus one good player in the Legion game, and you need to kill one of them.
Yeah, you don't want a situation where you have the librarian, the tinker they're confirming, and Legion as your final 3.
That's real
bad.
That
is a situation that has got very bad for Legion. So I think, like, a confirmation pair is another reason to add an extra good player, but you have to commit to being willing to kill into the confirmation pair and kill them probably decently early.
Night 2, maybe, at least.
Like, you can't let yourself accidentally get caught in a situation where you have to bring the confirmation pair to final 3, because then that's not really fair to Legion.
And just to be clear, that can happen without your control as the storyteller, because the town could kill off good players, forcing you to keep those good players alive toward the later game. So you really need to be careful with it. I think this is okay for a three good player bag, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, honestly, the Savant, Empath, and Fortune Teller in this situation are all kind of interchangeable, really.
Yeah.
They're all sort of the kind of lead vocalists of information characters on this script. Fortune Teller is an interesting one as well because of the sheer number of yeses they're going to be getting. We again, back to this game last night where we had 4 Fortune Tellers. They eventually kind of discovered each other and started choosing themselves and another alleged Fortune Teller to get no's, which was, I felt, quite an interesting interaction.
That's clever.
So it got to the point where I was having to try and sell Vortox scenarios to sort of explain why this was happening.
Maybe my mind is twisted, but I'm in my mind, if I was doing a Pope Legion versus Fortune Teller game with 4 Fortune Tellers, I would put each Fortune Teller's red herring on a different Fortune Teller. And
wow.
No, they didn't do that. They put the storyteller made all of the fortune tellers red herring the drunk who saw Virgin.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was interesting. I have no idea how we won that, honestly. Just describing it back now, it was cursed. But yeah, fortune teller is interesting because they, especially on this script again, the drunk Vortox go really well with a lot of the characters paired with Legion here.
Do you want to send these, Emma? I think, you know, yeah.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Look at
Legion.
That.
No, no. Best make the empath the drunk, guys. Stop between two baddies.
let's see. The chef's got a nice number there.
Yeah. The chef's got a 1 and then a 3,
it's an
6.
8? Is that an
6?
7?
It's a 7.
7.
Yeah, it's a 7.
Yeah,
I mean, that's fascinating. If that empath starts chopping counterclockwise, Legion are going to be in trouble there.
Yeah.
That's covered, right? And this script is covered by potentially, like, one of the Legions can try to marionette the empath. You know,
Vortox worlds, drunk worlds.
Yeah, it helps immensely that this is a really well-built script. I think a lot of Legion games are run on scripts that don't have as much covered as this one. And so we're kind of being spoiled here in that we can sort of deal with pretty much anything by saying, you know, drunk marionette, Vortox. Whereas there are a lot of, if we replace that fisherman with a mayor and this is trouble brewing with a Legion on it, it becomes a much bigger problem for the storytellers and for the Legion, right?
It's hard to sell that the empath is the drunk and the chef was poisoned on day 1, right? That's much harder to sell.
That's pretty much all you've got, yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned that this is Waluigi's Mustache by Walter. I'm not sure how much manipulation of the script. Like, sometimes we'll do a little manipulation around.
Sometimes, sometimes we'll ask some questions, but with this particular thing, I think, you know, the script sort of speaks for itself.
Yeah, I think the script speaks for itself pretty well. Any last thoughts on Legion? Any last things we want to say about this? We've gone for quite a while, so we're pretty spoiled for information here.
Yeah, I think ultimately Legion is a character that you're going to have to practice with. It's a bicycle. You're going to fall off it a lot, and don't feel bad when you do, and don't make fun of the guy that falls off the bike who's running the bike game for you. Like, just, you know, have fun screwing up. Every time you make a mistake, you get a little bit better at the thing that you're doing. It's all part of the journey, and you'll look back fondly on it, I promise. Just stick with it and remain open-minded, and eventually Legion will become one of your favorite characters, because it really is this wonderfully unique experience, and the level of paranoia that it creates is truly the essence of social deduction, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. One thing I'd emphasize is when I draw Imp in Trouble Brewing and I get executed day 4 because I've done something and the good team has caught me, I can sometimes, you know, feel bad. I can feel like I let my minions down. I can feel like I could have done better. All that pressure is gone with Legion. You're just one of the Legion. None of that, like, sort of horrifying pressure is on you as evil. And when you're also having to deal with the pressure of lying and trying to trick people, and embrace that feeling and let yourself relax a little bit. Yeah, that's my Legion sell-off, I would say.
I just think there's a great deal of joy as a storyteller in watching your players enjoy a Legion game, and specifically a game where they think it's Legion and there is no Legion. Those are some of my favorite games to watch, because there's really a lot of puzzle solving. There's a lot of players really engaging with the game, because the good team's generally genuinely concerned about, is this a Legion game? And so I think one of the things that's really overlooked about Legion is it's a really engaging character if you engage with it. Like, it's one that if you engage with the game, both good and evil are incentivized to really play, you know, and really be active and really be doing stuff in the game. And that's the kind of game that I love, where everybody's kind of got an angle. Everybody's trying to work. Everybody's trying to do something. I think that makes Legion a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's a game with 9 barons in it. If you like being the baron, you'll like being Legion.
Let's go.
All right. Then before we sign off, we like to give our guests the chance to promote literally anything they want to promote. If there's anything whatsoever, Clock Tower, non-Clock Tower, that you just wanted to shout out or say about, or just say where people can find you. Not that, like, we need to tell people, the Clock Tower community, where to find you. This is your chance.
I don't have anything personally to promote. I suppose you could go over to the official Clock Tower YouTube channel, but most folks watching this probably already know that. So I'm just going to be really selfish and say, if anyone has a spare ticket for any of the England games at the World Cup in the USA in 2026, then I want one. So give it to me. That's I'll even pay for my own flights and accommodation. I just don't know how I'm going to get hold of a ticket. So that's what I'm going with.
More than welcome.
More than welcome to. Well, thank you, my friend. We really appreciate you coming and sharing your time with us. This has been an absolute blast. I've had a great time, and I'm sure all the viewers are really going to enjoy it. So thank you so much for coming, Ben. So that's us done with Legion.
Next time, may your scenarios stay grim.
Stay grim.